Is your website pretty?
Mind your business.
Does it work right?
Mind your business.
Can people find it?
You got what I need.
Mind your business.
If you answered no, or kinda, to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to this week's Mind Your Business podcast, presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design, and dedicated to all of you who want to navigate these crazy waters of the internet the right way. Thank you, Whiff Roasters of Lititz, Pennsylvania, for my favorite coffee ever. Thank you for listening on iTunes and Stitcher, as always. We really appreciate it. And, of course, we appreciate your love on Pinterest. Don't forget to drop us a line on Facebook or on our website if you have a question that you want us to answer on a future podcast. Don't be shy. There's no such thing as a stupid question. As I've heard from different people over the course of my career, the only stupid question is the one you don't ask. So bring them to us. We love answering them on the podcast. Now, you know, it does each and every one of us a whole world of good to take some time here and there to stop. Just stop. Stop and smell the proverbial roses, and also stop and take stock of where you are, whether you're taking stock of where you are in your personal home life, in your work life, your family life, relationships with friends, whatever. Stopping like this, taking a brief respite, if you will, and taking stock of where you are in these areas of your life, it gives you the opportunity to see where you are, appreciate what it's taken to get there, and think about where you want to go. Simple as that. It sounds very obvious, but it's something that many of us don't do. I'm certainly guilty of it, or guilty of not doing it, however you want to look at it there. I can get a little too particular with words, and it can get tedious. My wife can attest to that. Hey, our social media swami, Chris Bradley, recently asked me, how long have we been doing the podcast now? I hadn't really thought about it. I'm just always thinking about, you know, the next one and preparing for the next one, because I really enjoy doing this. Then I thought about it, and wow, we've got over 52 of these things on our website now. What I want you to do is think about this. When you're preparing to blog or preparing to podcast and you don't really feel like it, it happens to all of us from time to time. We get tired. We have personal matters that get in the way and make everything feel like a chore. It happens to you, it happens to me, it happens to all of us. Heck, 2015 has been a very difficult and indeed painful year for me personally. But you know, to quote the great philosopher Freddie Mercury, had to throw that in there, the show must go on. Whatever you're doing, whatever obstacles that come up along the way and make you feel beaten down, exhausted, whatever, you find a way to keep forging ahead. And that in and of itself can become a great motivator. What can become an even better motivator is just recognizing that we are social creatures and we find that inspiration from each other to keep going. We find that inspiration from each other in our workplace. And if we don't, we certainly should. I know I do. And I certainly hope you do, because it's just beautiful when that happens. And you find that motivation with your friends outside of work and at home. We inspire each other. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, in taking time to stop and smell those aforementioned semi-cliche and now proverbial roses, I started going through the presentation that I did last week with the help of our very own Chad Rock McComsey, with whom I am counting down the days until the Swords new album comes out. Can't wait for that. I started going through that presentation and realized that now is a really good time to stop, to take a step back and define SEO for you again. Yes, define SEO. Some of you have really been wanting this, and some of you may be thinking that you're going to be bored because you already know. I guarantee that you won't be bored. And if you're not careful, you might even learn a little something in the process. Being in front of a computer and being immersed in this insanity known as SEO every day, there's a lot that I can be guilty of taking for granted. In doing the presentation last week for the Extraordinary Give at the Ware Center downtown, and by the way, thank you, Janine Maxwell of Millersville University, for that opportunity, and thank you to our own Chris Bradley for getting that set up. In doing that presentation, I had the opportunity to strip everything down and go through the evolution of SEO. I've done that at various points on the podcast over the past year. It's really fascinating to look at this because when you really think about it, the internet has been a truly competitive marketplace for about 10 years at the most. It's important that you take the time to remember this once or twice a year, seriously, to keep your thought processes in check. We are in the middle of an evolution when it comes to e-commerce and internet marketing. It seems like it's been around for a lot longer than it actually has because it's progressing so damn quickly. There was e-commerce going back more than 10 years. But when you really look at it objectively, it was the dot-com crash of 2000 to 2001 that really marked the true beginning of the internet as a competitive marketplace. Prior to the aforementioned crash, there were two or three years where new dot-com companies were being founded, such as Pets.com, which we'll refer to again in a few minutes. This was a period of time where it was like a modern gold rush. It really, really was. Business owners and CEOs were beginning to realize that they could cause an increase in their stock prices just by adding .com to the end of their name or even adding the E prefix to their name. It was cool. It was modern. It was progressive. It was like, hey, I'm a ludicrously rich businessman looking for the next big thing to invest in. You look good. You have .com after your name or E before it. Here's my money. I'm investing in you. Make me a profit. Sounds kind of crazy, and I know that's kind of drilling it down to the ridiculous, but that's truly at the root of it. That's what was going on. People were excited. Nobody really knew what to do, but they knew they wanted to invest in it. In an environment that, in retrospect, really eerily and creepy-like, was the precursor to the housing bubble that would follow and rip apart our economy in 2007-2008, investors began ignoring traditional metrics that measure and predict the success of a company, and instead they made investments based on confidence. Don't ever believe it when somebody tells you that sales is not an emotional process. People will invest large amounts of money based on a gut feeling, and that is absolute proof of it. Confidence in the advancement of technology, that's what was going on there, and confidence that those responsible for those technological advances somehow knew more about business than they, the investors, did. Think about that. People were literally investing in the unknown, into the great wide open, a rebel without a clue, as Professor Tom Petty would say. So, blah, 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 many of these companies put their eggs in one basket and counted on those coveted Super Bowl ads in the Titans-Rams Super Bowl on January 30th, 2000, to propel their businesses into the financial stratosphere. It didn't exactly happen that way, even for those that survived. It did not happen that way. In fact, most of those companies learned that they did not have a captive audience as they had predicted and had to fold completely. This haunts me to this day, friends, because I'm a long-suffering Houston Oilers, Tennessee Titans fan, and this is the only opportunity I've had to see my favorite team play in the Super Bowl in the 36 years that I've been following them. And it just happens to be the Super Bowl that I have to reference constantly when documenting the history of my chosen vocation. Thanks, guys. Anyway, look up the aforementioned Pets.com now, and it directs you to the perhaps not so ironically named PetSmart.com. I guess they learned something. Pets.com was one of the original dot-com companies who completely failed, while others learned and adapted, and then recovered enough to equal or even surpass what they did before the dot-com bubble burst. Amazon.com, eBay.com. Yes, those are some of the survivors. You've all heard of them. It's worth noting that eBay.com stock, I mean, listen to this. Listen how huge this is. eBay.com's stock plummeted from $107 per share to $7 per share during that dot-com crash. Yeah, a drop of $100 per share after the bubble burst. However, 10 years later, turn the clock ahead 10 years, by 2011, their stock surpassed $400 per share. So they went down to seven and then wound up almost quadrupling where it was before the crash. Adaptability. You got to have the right people in place to weather those storms, because those storms can happen to the best of us. I found an interesting article online at businessinsider.com that lists 8 dot-com Super Bowl advertisers who no longer exist. See if you remember any of these. The aforementioned Pets.com. There was Epidemic.com, which paid people for referral links in personal emails. Spam, spam, spam. There was LifeMinders.com. There was OurBeginning.com, which was a wedding planning site. There was NetPliants.com. There was eStamp.com, which actually was eventually bought out by Better Business Minds and turned into Stamps.com, which exists and flourishes today. There was E1040.com, which was a tax preparation service. Really, when you think about it, it was destined to fail once H&R Block and other tax services, and indeed government sites, got wise to the internet. And there was OnMoney.com. Yeah, I don't remember some of these either. There's a couple that I do, but there are some of them, like LifeMinders. I don't remember that one at all. But these were businesses who had investors who put millions into their advertising campaigns. Through their failures and the success of others, we have the genesis of modern internet marketing and indeed SEO itself. There are different marketing forums online that have said for years that SEO is dead. This is a ludicrous thought given the fact that SEO literally stands for search engine optimization. Do you want your business to be found online by the search engines? Yes. Does your website need to be properly optimized to be found by the search engines? Yes. So, search engine optimization will never truly be dead. It will evolve over time, and it has and continues to. It has for the past 6 years. Since I really dove into it, SEO is so totally different than it was when I started, 6 years ago. It could almost make one's head spin, and pretty much it does. However, the basics of it remain the same, and that's why I wanted to take this podcast to reground you conceptually with regard to the basics of SEO. It's why I call this kind of, SEO for dummies, for lack of a better name for it. With all of the hype and the technological advances and, indeed, the tech speak that goes with it, it's important to never lose sight of the root purpose of good SEO. I submit all of the aforementioned examples to you as evidence that you're definitely not alone in trying to navigate the waters of internet marketing and, indeed, SEO. I'm going to give you 3 points of good SEO to always keep in mind and to help keep your thought processes in check. In fact, again, that's why we'll call this SEO for dummies. There's nothing wrong with being a quote-unquote dummy. Hell, my dad taught me to be what he calls a student of life. You never stop learning. If you do, then life becomes boring and it loses purpose. For the sake of ruffling some feathers, I'll argue that ignorant is the new smart. You heard it first right here on the Mind Your Business podcast. The complete progressive inversion of intelligence. Seriously, though, I discuss this concept with our clients. If you're ignorant, as I am, and we all are in some circumstances, and you're willing to ask questions, you're going to come away a hell of a lot more knowledgeable than someone who thinks they know more than they actually do and are afraid to ask questions. I'll let that marinate in your brain for a little while, and we'll get on to those three points I mentioned. With honesty as a lifeline between the three, as the lifeline between the three. The first point of good SEO is that you should understand that you must have honest on-site optimization. Conceptually, and SEO is really simple. It's the proper implementation that has admittedly gotten a little more complicated over time. When we talk about honest on-site optimization, conceptually think about this. I'll use a niche market example for you here, if for no other reason than I get to use the word niche a couple of times gratuitously. Let's say you're a fast food service, or excuse me, you're a food service provider in Lancaster County that provides food service equipment to restaurants. You obviously want restaurants in the area to be able to find you when they need to replace a grill or a cooler, a chafing dish, a refrigerator, or whatever. Undoubtedly, on your website, you will have individual pages dedicated to these individual pieces of equipment. Therefore, you want your optimization of individual pages to reflect what is on those pages and not infinitely repeat the keyword optimization of your home page. For instance, your home page optimization will be more general than the individual pages. You will want your home page title, description, content, and RDFA geared naturally towards keyword combinations like restaurant equipment, food service equipment, restaurant equipment Lancaster, PA, or whatever your city or region is. Conversely, you want an individual product page to be optimized for that specific product. So your targeted keywords in your home page title, description, etc., will be geared naturally toward whatever that product is. Let's say one of your products you sell is chafing dishes. You want that page with your chafing dishes to be optimized with the focus on chafing dishes and not with a focus on the general restaurant equipment or food service equipment keyword groups. It seems obvious, yeah, this page is about chafing dishes. This page is about grills. But when you're in the position to make that decision, it's really hard to not want to hammer in your most coveted general keywords every chance you get on every page, because that used to work about 7 years ago, and there were plenty of SEOs that engaged in that practice. And there's that natural tendency for us to want to believe that it still might work. No. And I'll tell you, I hated keyword stuffing then, and I hate it even more now. It's simply a waste of time, but there are still people who sell it and people who are willing to pay for it. That's why you still see those old practices that don't work still being advertised and still popping up right in front of you. Keep in mind that in the eyes of the search engines, your more focused keywords serve to augment, to strengthen the value of your more general keywords on your website, which keeps your ranking strong with those general keywords. The second point of good SEO is honest education. Keywords used to be the proverbial be-all and end-all with regard to SEO. Don't get me wrong, they definitely still matter, because how else will search engines know what the heck your site is about and how to index it? But because of keyword stuffing over the years and other general misuse of primary keywords, not to mention the overuse of linking, there has been more and more emphasis over the past 2 years on the importance of generating fresh content for your website. The importance of generating fresh content with the goal of educating your visitors. I was harping on this back in 2008 when I was coaching real estate agents on having a blog page on their website and not merely relying on their Active Rain blog page, because they were basically helping Active Rain more than they were helping themselves. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Active Rain, it's a popular blog forum for the real estate business, kind of a social media network. This is when keyword stuffing was the method du jour for SEO, because at the time, well, it worked. I never liked it. I never engaged in it. I hated it then and I hate it now, but it was a whole lot harder than to convince people not to engage in it and to instead engage their visitors with some genuinely helpful content. How-to articles, helpful checklists, any way you can help visitors who come to your website, do it. Stop worrying so much about giving away free information. Heck, anything you're worried about not telling your visitors can be found elsewhere online. They can go to your competitor's website and find that information if you are unwilling to give it to them. Why do you want them going anywhere else? Give them that helpful information and inject your perspective, your opinion, and your personality into it. That is what will ultimately set you apart and bring people back to your website again and again. See, people, when you think about the root of SEO, most of us are waiting for more technical mumbo jumbo, and maybe this time we'll understand it better than last time. At the root of it all, SEO is simply about being found and getting found in the right places. And if your heart's in the right place and your intent is in the right place, then that tends to happen naturally. And that's my little segue into the third point of good SEO, which is honest intent. Never forget that people are learning to trust you by how you present yourself on your website. They're learning to trust you by what you share and how you share it. Google's search engine algorithm is getting more and more intuitive with each passing week and month, simply because the most simple aspects of SEO have been abused and overused to the point where search engine bots are actually looking for signs of our own intent in both our searches and in the content we provide on our websites. Are you merely providing content as an afterthought and not really sharing good, valuable, helpful information? Again, you've got to get out of the mindset of withholding too much information. Granted, there's proprietary stuff that you may not want to share, but there's a ton of information with regard to your area of business that's just not a secret anymore. For instance, if you're a home improvement company, don't be afraid to share some how-to blog posts and how-to videos. The tendency is for us to not want to share how we do things, but the truth is, if someone has the time to do something and the willingness to learn how, they're not going to be your home improvement client anyway. So, give them the information they need to do it themselves. You're not losing a potential client. They're going to do it themselves anyway. They're going to get the information. They're going to figure it out, and somebody's going to help them, so they might as well learn how from you. Undoubtedly, these friends have friends, or these people have friends who, I hope they become friends through all this. I mean, it is about relationships, right? But undoubtedly, these people have friends who don't have either the time or the desire to do it themselves, and your name will be passed on to them as a reference. In addition, by sharing this how-to information, there will be people who look at either your how-to blog post or your how-to video and say, wow, this is more complicated than I thought, or this is more involved than I thought. I don't have time to do all of that. But they sure look like they know what they're doing, though, and then you get a phone call or email contact because you've earned trust with a potential new client by showing them how to do something and them realizing that maybe they can't do it themselves. But you've proven to them that you're worth your salt. Never underestimate the fact that when you show people these things, it can give them a new appreciation for the work that you do. I know I joked earlier about ignorant being the new smart, but my point is that no one has to be afraid to be ignorant anymore. We are all ignorant about something or some things. No one can know everything about everything. It's impossible. Ignorant simply means that you don't know something. And when somebody asks you what podcast you listen to today, say, I listen to some guy blabbering about ignorance. Ignorant simply means that you don't know something. Yet so many of us are afraid to ask questions for fear of looking like we don't know something that for some reason we feel like we should know. We usually feel this way because we're surrounded by people who are posturing similarly, but who actually, in many cases, want to ask that same burning question that we're afraid to ask as well. We can find answers to virtually any question online anymore. Why shouldn't someone be able to get answers from you on your website? Why shouldn't you be someone's trusted reference? When your honest intent shows through the information you share, you open up a whole new world of relationships for you and your business. And then, voila, your SEO really does happen naturally. Yes, there are specifics that you have to take care of, but if your intent is pure, your SEO will happen naturally, and you will get indexed, and you'll get indexed properly, and you'll be able to weather the algorithmic storms that are panda and penguin and whatever other animal Google decides to throw our way. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Mind Your Business podcast, presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. Thank you, Whiff Roasters in Lititz, Pennsylvania. Thank you for listening on iTunes and Stitcher. Thank you for following us on Pinterest, as always. And please do drop us a line on Facebook or our Ask a Question page, and we'll be happy to answer your questions on a future podcast. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
From the Minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.
Huh? You should sleep late, man. It's just much easier on your constitution.